Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call freedom. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you, I wanna say it. When you can do what you wanna do and go where you wanna go and live where you wanna live.
Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Freedom. This is what I call freedom. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you.
So you Democrats.
Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Freedom. This is what I call freedom.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks, and happy belated 4th of July. All right. All right. I hope you guys had a great 4th of July. We did. We certainly did. We were out there among the best. You know, we were in the park also with the other folks on the beach. We were having a great time. And everybody, it was crowded. It was more crowded than I don't know, maybe past 4th of July in the city of Chicago. Who knows? But I want to say I hope you guys had a great, great, happy 4th of July. And I'm pretty sure you deserved it. After all the mess that's going on in the world and in the city, we all deserved it. You know, I mean, we deserved a break from all of this craziness and lunacy and idioticness. That's, if that's a word, that's going on. Okay, so we had a great time, and I hope you had a great time. And I almost wish every week could be 4th of July, because it's just a wonderful time for a lot of people to get together, to clear their minds, and to just have fun and just be with family and friends. That's what it's all about, family and friends. And for those of you who do not have family and friends, you know, I mean, you can also have a great time. You know, I mean, if you're living alone and you know, you don't have family and friends, or your family and friends have passed away, whatever, but you still will have the George Wilder Jr. Show, and the George Wilder Jr. Show is your friend. All right, my guest today is Kim Interdanto, illustrator. Okay, we'll see what that's about. Anyway, I want to say again, happy belated, because I wasn't on live. For 4 days, the George Wilder Jr. Show, we also took the 4 day holiday vacation, you know, away from the studio. But now we're back. We're back, and I'm glad to be back. And whenever I'm not on the radio live, you can always listen to one of the podcast shows. One of the shows is already recorded. They're just as good, just as dynamic, you know, and just as up to date on the current issues also. So, you know, it's a win-win situation, whether I'm on live or not, or whether you're just listening to one of those archived shows, one of the shows that are already in the books. You know, their shows are already, some people, you know what, they don't call them reruns no more. They used to call them reruns. Whenever something was repeated, it would be a rerun, but now it's not a rerun. I believe they call them podcasts. I never think of my show as a podcast, even though that's probably what it is and what I should be actually thinking of it as. But I don't think of it as a podcast. I think of it just an internet radio show. You know, that's what I think of it as, and that's what I'm going to call it. WTTTY, three T's, not witty, but WTTTY on Blog Talk Radio. That's the call letters. That was some confusion maybe a couple of weeks ago, where there was a typo in the call letter, the call letters, and it was, instead of saying WTTTY, it was WITTY. And a lot of folks who were trying to be booked on the show thought it was the word witty, which it was. It is witty, but it was just a typo, because instead of an I, there was supposed to be a T. And people were saying, man, I want to be on your show. I want to get witty on your show. I thought I didn't know what they was talking about at first. And then it dawned on me. Then, as being a smart guy, I figured it out. And it wasn't a bad thing. It's just that I didn't type it that way or want it to be that way. It was just a mistake. But anyway, now we got that out of the books. We got that out of the way, actually. So if you see witty out there anywhere, it's not supposed to be witty. It's supposed to be WTTTY, George Wilder Jr. Show, Blog Talk Radio, internet radio, not podcasts. But if that's what you want to call it,
feel free to do so. All righty, we have had a hell of a week, haven't we, folks? It's time to get, you had a four-day weekend. It's time to get back into the swing of things. There are some people who are still off work, and those are the ones who are probably getting paid the big bucks. But we who are not getting paid the big bucks, we have to be at work today. Some of us worked on the holiday, right? You had to work on 4th of July. But a lot of times, if you're working on the 4th of July, you're going to get double time or half time or something. You're going to get some, in other words, you're going to get some extra pay for doing so. And you should. I mean, anytime anybody has to give up their holiday with their friends and family to go to a job they probably hate or love, you know, you should get, you should be extra compensated for it. All right. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It looks like it's going to be some rain, folks. I'm in my studio on the north side of the city near Lake Michigan. It's beautiful. You know, sometimes, you know, it's really, really gorgeous over here. And if you're talking about a stay vacation, this is a perfect avenue for it. It is really that. And it looks like right now it looks as if it's going to rain. Actually, earlier today, the sun was shining and the lovers were out, you know, so they're still out. Somehow the evening is just a lot better than actually being up in the day when the sun shines. And so many people love the evening. I think there's more people out in the evening than there are when it's sunshiny, you know, like in the morning and afternoons. So and people love the evenings because a lot of times the sun is going in some cases, but not all. All right, let's cut the crap, George, and get to the essence of the show. All righty. Even though we've just come out of the 4th of July weekend, it's some sad news in the city of Chicago. I mean, this is sad news in the city of Chicago during the 4th of July weekend. Within the 4th of July weekend, 100 people were shot in the city of Chicago. Shot. 15 of those people were killed, obviously, homicides. Shot. Okay, it's saying here that 15 people were killed. More than 100 people were wounded in the city of Chicago. And this, the thing about this, folks, is that this comes along with federal agents in Chicago. The federal agents, and this comes with the Chicago police taking at least 58 gangbangers off the street. I believe it was last week or last weekend. And this comes with the federal agents, and this comes with the changing in police strategy and all of this stuff, new ideas, new goals, new plans of the way they are. So this is on the heels of that. And they were saying, even before the 4th of July weekend started, that they had this under wraps. They had they were going to quell Chicago violence. It wasn't going to be as many people getting shot as it were last weekend. Guess what? They lied. Last July 4th, who were shot in the city of Chicago. Now it's 100. And now, you know what they're going to try and do? These people in the city of Chicago, the police department, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, even the governor, they're going to try and spin this. You know, how can they spin it? But they're going to find a way to do it. They always do. I mean, you know, all of this preparation for stopping the violence in the city of Chicago did not work. Even though there's some other point back then, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not down. When you constantly taking guns off the street, constantly arresting the bad guys, taking them off the street, and you've got federal agents helping you with the crime problem in the city of Chicago. Federal agents sent from Washington, D.C. to Chicago, and still 100 people are shot. And then these people are all on television trying to defend that. How can you defend it? There's more people dying with all this in place, with all your ideas and all your solutions and all your manpower, even the federal agents, and more people died during this time than it did last year when we didn't have federal agents in the city of Chicago. This is a complete failure of the police department to get a handle on these shootings, a handle on the guns. This is a complete outright failure. They're going to spend it any way they can, folks. But you gotta really put your head into this. It's not hard to surmise that these people are just deluded and delusional, and they're going to try to get you, the American people. I mean, well, actually, Chicagoans who are taxpayers, who are paying their salaries, to think that they are actually doing something when they're doing nothing. And this includes having federal investigators, federal agents here, ATF, still, they couldn't do anything. But they're going to spend it. Oh, we crime is still down overall. Overall, what? I mean, how can you tell the people, the families of the victims of this type of violence, 100 people, over 100 people being shot, 15 killed, that crime is down or it's not as bad as it was prior years or whatever? And you have FBI agents. I guess what I'm saying is Chicago police, they have help that didn't amount to anything, because over 100 people were shot, 15 people were killed. That's not stopping the violence in Chicago. That's you not doing your job as a police officer and as an FBI agent. I know there's a lot of people out here probably feel the same way, but they're afraid to say it. This is crap. This is totally crap. The city is being besieged by guns and they can't do nothing about it. But it's almost like, you know, it's almost like a sports game, a team saying that, boy, when we get out here, we're going to beat the hell out of these guys. Because we've drafted the best players. We got the best coach. We got the best of everything. We're going to get out here and we're going to beat this other team real badly. And they get out there and they get whooped. That's what I feel that's the analogy that I feel has happened in the city of Chicago. The police department making all of these great preparations before the start of the holiday, because they know the 4th is a time where violence goes completely through the roof, and it had gone through the roof. And nothing they said, nothing they tried to do worked. They even went out and hired more police officers, better training probably. And over 100 people getting shot. They're not going to, you know, when they talk about this and they give a lot of press briefings and they're going on TV talking about this, when they're talking about this, they're not going to call themselves failures. No way. I mean, because that would mean they're not doing their jobs. They're not going to call themselves failure. They're not going to say they blew this. I think they did. And a lot of other people think they did. This is crazy. 100 people shot in the city of Chicago, whether they're wounded or fatal. This is unacceptable. What I've been saying this for so long, we need new leadership in City Hall in the city of Chicago. And I'm pretty sure that can resonate around America and a lot of other cities who have violence like this. And this is just crazy. A lot of people just glossing over this, you know, 100 people shot. Oh, that's Chicago. That's phenomenal. That's surpassing 2016 the 4th of July in 2016. It surpasses it because the 4th of July in 2016, only 66 people were shot. And Lord knows that's a hell of a lot of people being shot. And that's too damn many right then and there for 2016. But then you have 2017, the 4th of July, 100 people get shot. These people, it's not a laughable matter, but it will be laughable when you see these guys, the superintendent, the mayor of Chicago, give their excuses and spinning their answers on why the 4th of July violence is higher than 2016, especially when they had or have help. They have help. And still, the violence was higher than anything else, probably in the history of 4th of July in the city of Chicago. It's just, and I'm looking at these numbers now, and it's just totally unreal. And if you go back and you look at a lot of these numbers on some of these shootings in the city of Chicago, you would just have to take a deep breath because it's so high. It is so out of this world. It is so massive, you know, because if you want to say, I can say this, 400 over almost 5,000 people in the city of Chicago were shot last year, 2016. And that's appalling. 700 and something, maybe 700 to 800 people were actually murdered. Homicides. And it's just getting worse. No matter how much these guys talk, no matter how, I tried to give some solutions a few months ago, a couple of years ago. I'm pretty sure they probably heard the solutions. However, they didn't enact them that I know of. You know, then there are some things I think they probably did enact, but it just didn't work for them. I've said this a million times before, you have to, in some of these high crime communities, you have to like build you have to build a bunker. I mean, you have to build somewhere or a security. You basically, what I'm saying, it has to be a 24/7 presence in some of these high crime neighborhoods. It has to be that. You have to have a 24 presence in some of these neighborhoods, and that's not what's happening. That is not what's happening. And I do believe Chicago is probably embarrassed at these numbers because we have actually federal help that didn't help. That wasn't any help. You got these guys coming from Washington wearing these big guns and flat coats and bulletproof vests looking tough. And crime went up. The shootings went up. More people died than ever. So, you know, I mean, what else can you say?
And we're but back it's a now failure. With the round table. And
a failure.
I have a feeling you guys are going to have a little different comments than Tom Bossert had about that GIF. Let's look at it again. This happened just as we were ending our other round table.
This is Anna Navarro, folks. Anna Navarro.
Okay, Anna, I got to start with you.
I'm a CNN commentator. I think that is unacceptable. I think that is the president of the United States taking things way too far. It is an incitement to violence. He is going to get somebody killed in the media. Maybe that will stop him. I am disappointed beyond belief by the answer that the Homeland Security advisor just gave. What a wuss. What a wuss. You could see that he is ceding his principles. You are the Homeland Security advisor and you can't stand here and say the difference between right and wrong. That's what's part of the problem. He is surrounded by enablers that do nothing but shake their heads and nod their heads in agreement with everything that he says. They have got to stop. They have got to stand for democracy, for freedom of the press. This is just going way too far. The president of the United States is inciting violence against the free press. And America, We cannot stand for it.
I mean, it is just kind of theater of the absurd, right? I don't think any of us would have thought that this is something that the president, any president, would do. But in particular, it just comes, as you mentioned, right after the shooting of Steve Scalise, Republicans and Democrats said it's time to take the rhetoric down a notch. And this clearly does not do that.
And everyone that we spoke to on the Hill right after that incident said the president was actually quite good on that stage. He was reassuring. He called for the country to get together. He gave a really good speech and visited the hospital to see Steve Scalise. And now this, listen, I know a lot of people who work for CNN who have to be scared and wondering why the president has decided to physically pummel somebody with the CNN logo on his face. So it'll be interesting to get some reaction.
Nobody at CNN is scared. If anything, this is making each and every one of us more resolute not to cower at the bullying of this president. This is a free press. This is a free country. This is a democracy. And if he thinks that with these little tricks, he's going to scare Jeff Zucker, he's going to scare anybody at CNN, he's got something different coming. We are resolute at continuing searching the truth, speaking the truth, and calling out right versus wrong.
And I'm sitting here thinking now, what do Americans think when they look at that? What do those voters think who I talk to in Ohio? I know that when we talk about ourselves and we say, oh, it's terrible that he's going after the media, but that's pummeling somebody from CNN?
Well, I think that my guess is the president doesn't regard this as literally inciting people to violence.
I'm sure he thinks it's funny.
And I think that most people see it and they think pro wrestling is fake. Yeah. And they think that's sort of what he's getting at here. The problem is that juvenile behavior. It's something that most people, including a lot of his own supporters, want him to quit doing, and he can't do it. You know, I didn't agree with the way Thomas Bossert was talking about this, but I think he's right that it is genuine in the sense that he is showing us genuinely who the president
is. This is not funny. Look, there's way too many. And he can't think it's funny. There's way too many unstable people out in the streets right now at this time of impassioned and heightened passions. We all know it. We've all seen it. We have seen the results of harassment. We've seen the results of shootings. We've seen the result of violence out in the street. And for the president of the United States, who is supposed to be unifying this country on a July 4th, weekend, to be tweeting out incitement to violence. It is incitement to violence. Let us not parse words. Let us not call it by any other name. It is disgusting by this president. Yet one more disgusting act.
All right. That's Anna Navarro, one of my favorite people, because you know why she's she tells it like it is. She doesn't parse her words like a lot of these journalists when they get on these shows or they do a talk show and they come on television. They parse their words or they carefully choose their words. Anna comes right out and she tells it like it is. I mean, I would love to have her on my show one day. And because I think I'm one of those people who tells it like it is. I don't parse my words. If I think something stinks, I'm going to say it stinks, you know. And you got a lot of people get their faces on television and just parse their words or choose their words carefully. Obama did that. I mean, whenever Obama gave a speech or was in front of a microphone and the television cameras were right there, he would be picking his words carefully, and he'd be parsing his words carefully not to infuse or incite anybody with his words, and he would pick them carefully, and I would get pissed off at that. I would say, man, can't you just say what's really on your mind and just come out and say it? But every time I would see Obama, he would be, even if it was on TV for 5 minutes, you ask him a direct question, he would parse his words and pick his words very, very carefully, because he didn't want the Republicans to come back and hit him in the face with those things that he was saying or take his words against him, you know. But I love people, and I'm, and this is not a joke, I love people who are not afraid to speak their mind, say what they think, say what's on their mind, do not be afraid of retaliation or whatever. You come on my show, you go on any show, speak your mind. That's what I like about Anna Navarro. She speaks her mind, and she gets in the ass of other people who try to sugarcoat a serious issue that she thinks should not be sugarcoated. she speaks her mind, and I have I would love to have her on the show because we are alike. I speak my mind. I say what I want to say and how I want to say it, because this is a free country. You know, there is a certain thing as the First Amendment to the Constitution. You know, do not let these people, these thugs in the White House, including Donald Trump, you know, bully you, intimidate you, scare you, because this guy is just occupying the White House for a short time, 8 years or 4 years or less than that. Hopefully he should be impeached, I think. And I just love people who just tell it like it is, come straight out with it. You know, I know sometimes on the show, I'm saying things that other people wish they could say. That's why I get a lot of calls and emails from people, sometimes basically emails and inboxes of people saying, George, you have a nice show. We like what you do. We think it's great. You keep going. And basically, I'm just being fair and being truthful, but I'm telling it like it is. I'm not going to parse my words. I'm not going to be afraid to talk. I'm not going to be afraid to say I disapprove of this. I'm not going to be afraid to say that senator or that representative or the president stink. I'm not going to be afraid to say any of those things. But there are so many people who are afraid to speak their mind, afraid to open their mouth, afraid they're going to say the wrong thing and they're going to get fired from their job or something. But you know, I can understand all of that, because a lot of times if you do say, if you post something on Facebook or some other social networking site, you know, and your employers see it, even though it may be something innocent, but you know, but their political views may be different from yours, you're out of a job, especially if you're not represented by a union or you don't have a contract or whatever, you can be fired. And that happens. That happens. But, and I want to say, if you have a job like that, I would probably say, do not post anything online. And a lot of people do not post. A lot of people don't post. They don't post because they're afraid. They have jobs. They have lives. They have family. And they know if they post something, somebody who works with them is going to see that and going to show it to the boss, and then they're out of a job. But for those who can say what you want to say, do what you want to do, that's why I play that song at the end of at the beginning of the show, Freedom. That's why I play it, because you can do what you want to do, go where you want to go, work when you want to work, say what you want to say. And that's why I play the song, because I believe in doing those things. Basically, it talks about the First Amendment. I don't know if the folks who were singing it thought of that, but to me, that's what it entails. So I just love Anna Navarro, and you know, you'll always hear a voice on my show. I'm just hoping that one day I can actually have her on the show, and we can talk. We can talk. She's on TV a lot. I mean, she's making the rounds because a lot of people like her, because she's totally blunt. She says what she says. She's not afraid to say anything. A lot of those journalists, television personalities, even radio personalities, are afraid to say certain things because they will be held accountable for it. They could lose their jobs for it. But Anna Navarro, she just comes out and says what she says. I don't think she's afraid of losing her job. You know, a lot of people out there trying to give her a job because she's so blunt and so straightforward and tells it like it is. I'm so glad. I just in awe of people who tells it like it is, not afraid to talk, not afraid to speak your mind, not afraid to say what you want to say. Not afraid to do it. You know, I've said a lot of things on this show point blank. And I've gotten calls and emails saying, George, you're doing the right thing. I've gotten people have called in and said they disagree with me. That's fine. But great. That's what it's all about. Debate. I mean, just because you believe one way and I believe the other way, doesn't mean that we still can't be friends. Doesn't mean that we still can't talk. Doesn't mean we still can't converse. You know, you're going to try to convince me of your side of it. I'm going to try to convince you of my side. If we do not fall in agreement, then so be it. But I do love people to come on the show who are straightforward and blunt and not afraid to say, it doesn't matter what topic or what issue we may be talking about. It could be about a book or something. Who knows? I love people to come on the show who are not afraid to say what they're going to say, what they should say. And that's beautiful. And I love that. I mean, in politics, of course, I don't like the current administration. I just don't like them. OK, that's point blank, straight up. I think they are awful. I think Trump is awful for the United States. I think he's unfit to be in the president in the White House. And that's not just me. That's a million something people around the world, just not in the United States, but around the damn world. You know, we are a laughing stock. We are a laughing stock. Every country out there is laughing at us. But you know what? I got a few friends from Canada, and they were saying that, yes, Mr. Wilder or George, we are laughing at the United States. The world is laughing at the United States. However, we're not laughing at the people of the United States. We're laughing and grinning because of Donald Trump. So in that case, a lot of the people who are looking at the United States and laughing at the United States, they're laughing at Donald Trump, not at the individual people that make up the United States of America. And that's a great thing. But still in all, we don't want nobody laughing at us. We don't even really want anybody laughing at our president. We want you to take our president serious. We want you to, but this is a different man. This is a different time. This is a different area. And we have someone in the White House that should not be there. And it's pissing me off that the United States, we've sunk so low in the world because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump, there's been too many people, lawyers, politicians, scholars throughout America saying Donald Trump is unfit. Donald Trump is unfit. Donald Trump should have been impeached months ago. But we have a Republican Congress who will do nothing but let this man sit there, stay there, and screw up the country. Donald Trump is going to screw this country so bad, they'll have no other recourse but to impeach him. But once they do impeach him, it's going to be too late. Now, if this was Barack Obama or if this was Hillary Clinton, the Republicans would have impeached them long ago. They'd have been long gone out of the White House. But for some reason, and I think I know the reason to why they are keeping this clown, this buffoon, this con man in office. Simple. To me, they're using Donald Trump. The Republicans in Congress, they run everything. Okay, they control everything. The Democrats, all they can do is cry. But the Republicans, they control everything. They control it all. And in my mind, the only reason why they're keeping Donald Trump in office is because they need Donald Trump to get their agenda through. They need Donald Trump to get their agenda through. And their agenda is this healthcare bill, the budget, and a lot of other garbage that's going to go against the American public. Anything that's going against the American public, anything that's good for the public, anything that we enjoy, the Republicans are going to try to strip away. And they need Donald Trump for that. They need him for that. They know, the Republicans in Congress know that 70 to 80% of the Americans in this country, they want to see Donald Trump out of the White House. They know it. They hear it. They hear it from their constituency. They hear it from the people who put their asses where they are. But still, they will not do anything. This is why I know for a fact come November 2018, they will be wiped the hell out. At least now people know what the Republicans really are about. We see these scoundrels for what they are. They are about destroying America, taking away your happiness. They're going to be coming after Medicare. They're going to come after Social Security. They're coming after Medicaid. They're coming after your life. America is the greatest country in the world, but yet we have to charge people. People lose their homes. People lose their cars. People lose their lives trying to pay for their medical bills. That's not fair. And you got so many countries around the world, healthcare is free. You don't have to pay a damn dime. You don't have to go to no damn insurance company. You walk into the doctor's office with a broken arm, you get it fixed, you walk out, there's no price. But in America, this is a damn shame. We are the richest country on earth, and yet we cannot take care of our own people. Because greedy son of a guns want to make big profits off of you. Yeah, you. Being sick in America is profitable. There are cures for everything there is. There's cure for cancer if they catch it early, okay? There's a cure for diabetes. There's a cure for heart disease. And to cure yourself of some of these diseases, it is so easy. It is so damn easy. It's almost frightening. But your doctor is not going to tell you that they can actually cure you of your disease that you keep, that keeps you going to that particular doctor, keeps him writing you an appointment. Because every time he writes you an appointment, the minute you step in that door, you're being charged. It's profits. It's about profits. And once you get in into that examination room, he's going to put the stethoscope on your chest and your back, and then he's going to write your prescription of a drug that may kill you faster than your disease will or your sickness will. And it's profitable. The medical industry is profitable. They're all about keeping you sick. Because it's money in the bank for these damn people. I remember a few years ago, Obama was talking about getting rid of insurance companies. But in the end, he made it a lot better for them, didn't he? Didn't he? I was surprised at that. But we in the Donald Trump era. We're in a deadly era. There is no doubt about that. And we're going to talk about North Korea when we come back. All righty. Thanks, everybody. All right. If you would like your product, service, or your book to be mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show twice a day, 4 days a week, right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show, just email the show or email its host for more details. Thank you.
At first, you both seem pretty cordial to each other.
Yep.
Fast forward a few weeks, he's calling you the head clown.
Yes.
You're chanting "Dump Trump" at rallies. Clearly, you're not working together anymore. So, what do you mean by "Dump Trump"?
Well, we have to stop him. Here's what I believe: you should always be guided by your values. That's my internal gyroscope. The higher up you go in politics and in anything else in life, mm-hmm. the more fierce the winds blow. So if you have your own beliefs, your own values, and stick with them, you'll stay on course. Uh-huh. So when Trump calling me names doesn't affect me. Trump trying to flatter me, which he did, doesn't affect me. If he sticks with the right values, I won't oppose things just because the name Trump is on it. Mm-hmm. But when he's against our values and American values, I'll fight him tooth and nail. And that's my guide, not what Trump says or doesn't say.
Right. Right. Senator, let's get to this other personality issue with him, because Al Franken.
Today, the president will release his full budget for fiscal year 2018. From all indications, the Trump budget will seek deep cuts to programs that help the middle class and working America while providing more handouts for the rich. It will cut to the bone programs that help the elderly, the poor, while adding money for an unnecessary, ineffective border wall that continues to have bipartisan opposition. And to make all of the math work, the Trump budget makes entirely unfounded assumptions about economic growth. In short, the Trump budget takes a sledgehammer to the middle class and the working poor, lavishes tax breaks on the wealthy, and imagines all of the deficit problems away with fantasy math. The Trump budget exists somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams of Mick Mulvaney, Paul Ryan, and the Koch brothers really do come true. Of course, these dreams are a nightmare for the average working American. We expect the Trump budget will make deep cuts to the National Institute of Health and Centers for Disease Control. Let me ask, how many people in America want to cut cancer research when it's done such good? Well, President Trump evidently does. It's his budget. They kneecap research that develops new cures, damaging our ability to contain or prevent the outbreak of disease. We're all living longer and healthier, in part because of this research. We want to stop it, cut it back, so we can give tax breaks to wealthy people who, God bless them, are doing great already. We expect the Trump budget will gash programs like Meals on Wheels. I even read in the paper this morning that the head of the Freedom Caucus said that even for him, some of these cuts were too great. The SNAP benefits, helping, making sure no kid goes to bed hungry in America. This is America. We've always done this. And the Children's Health Insurance Program, cruelly ripping away the lifelines from Americans who need the most, the children, the working poor, the elderly. We expect the Trump budget will cut transportation funding, education funding, and programs that help students repay their student loan debt. One of the great problems in America, the debt on the backs, the burden of average kids getting out of college, middle-class kids. We're going to make it harder? What is going on here? What is going on in the White House with this kind of budget? Our college kids, when they get out, they need to be able to live real good lives and not have this burden of debt on their shoulders, which they're struggling under now, and we're going to make it worse. We also, this is amazing but true, the Trump budget will break President Trump's promise to protect Social Security and Medicaid from cuts, both of them. He promised over and over again he wouldn't cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Medicare is not cut here, but Medicaid is, and Social Security is. On Social Security, the budget will cut Social Security disability benefits to many Americans who have earned them and paid for those benefits. And you can say, well, doesn't cut old age benefits for the elderly. Wait. If they get away with this, the elderly will be next on the chopping block, because the goal, it seems, of this budget is cut everything you can so you can give even more tax breaks to the wealthiest people. The Koch brothers type of thinking. It will also seek hundreds of billions of dollars, additional cuts in Medicaid. The budget cuts Medicaid on top of the cuts that were made in the House bill of Trump Care. And what'll that do? Medicaid has become a middle-class program. 60% of the people in nursing homes, Medicaid funds it. What are we going to tell a couple with three kids? Say they're 40 or 45. They have three kids. They're saving for college. They're struggling. But at least they know that mom or dad who needs help is in a nursing home. This budget passes, that family is going to have a terrible choice. Take hundreds of dollars a month out of their own budget and give it to pay for the nursing home, or find a place for mom and dad to live, maybe at home, but maybe there's no room in the house. Awful. That's what they're doing. And who else will it hurt? Opioid addiction. Much of our progress that we're trying to make on opioid addiction comes through Medicaid. Because they give treatment. We need both law enforcement. I'm a tough law enforcement guy, you know that. But we also need treatment. I've had fathers cry in my arms because their sons, in this case it was both sons, were waiting online for treatment and died of an overdose. What a burden a parent has to live with. We should cut that and cut it to give more tax breaks to the rich. It's in America turned upside down, this budget. And how about rural areas? You know, I represent New York State. It's known for its big city, New York City. We have other great cities upstate. But we also have the third largest rural population in America. So I'm very familiar with rural America. In many of my counties in upstate New York, and this is true throughout rural counties, throughout America, the largest employer is the rural hospital. And that hospital is the only hospital around for miles and miles and miles if, God forbid, you have a stroke and you got to be rushed there to get yourself better. Well, go talk to our rural hospitals. These rural hospitals, which are the beating heart of our local economy, employing hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people. Well, nearly one in three rural hospitals today are at risk of closure. It's more expensive to run a rural hospital. People in rural areas are entitled to the same health care, so that means buying all these fancy machines. In an urban area, those machines can run 24/7 and get the reimbursement back, but in a rural area, they can't. There's not that many people. But they get some help. The Trump cuts to Medicaid would cause a whole bunch of these rural hospitals to close, and many more to lay off employees. Hurting health care in rural America, hurting jobs in rural America, places that need help. The Trump budget, on top of Trump Care, which seeks more than $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid, would decimate health care options for rural Americans and pull the plug on many of these rural hospitals. And some of my colleagues will be talking more about that this morning. When you add all of it up, Mr. President, the Trump budget is comic book villain bad. And just like comic books, it relies on a fantasy to make all the numbers work. It's the kind of budget you might expect from someone who is openly rooting for a government shutdown. Haven't we heard the president say that? It's the latest example of the president breaking his promises to working Americans. This budget breaks promise after promise after promise that the president made to what he called the forgotten America, the working men and women of America. And he said he'd help them, and this budget goes directly against them. In a speech to Congress, for instance, earlier this year, the president called education, quote, the civil rights issue of our time, but his budget guts vital school programs. Our future, our kids. He said, quote, cures to illness he said, quote, this is the president's quote, cures to illnesses that have always plagued us are not too much to hope, quote. But his budget slashes funding for NIH and CDC, where they do this research. And he said, quote, save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security without cuts, have to do it, unquote. But his budget would cut Social Security disability insurance and end Medicaid as we know it. The Trump budget is one giant, brazen, broken promise to the working men and women of America. It completely abandons them. Fundamentally, this is a deeply unserious proposal that should roundly be rejected by both parties
here in Congress. I'm optimistic that that's what will happen. We should follow the same blueprint we did in the 2017 budget. Both Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, in a bipartisan way, everyone compromises. We should get together, negotiate a serious proposal that maintains our commitments to the middle class and actually sets our economy up to grow. We cannot let the president so turn America inside out with his budget.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard. Fighting non-violently. Well, you know, Trump wants to... Let me start over again. Well, you know, Trump wants our voter data. He wants information on how we vote. He wants every state, his commission or whatever the hell it is, Kobach and Pence commission, they want our voter data. Trump wants to see how we vote. He claims he's trying to stem voter fraud. And we all know that it's voter suppression, period. I don't want Trump seeing anything of mine. He's got his nerve to say he wants to see our voter information and that every state should send it to him. Who the hell is he? You ain't seeing my voter information, asshole. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to let you see it. And I hope my senators and the voting commission in the city of Chicago and all over the United States refuse. I'm hearing that 44 and 46 states have already refused. That's some gall for him to ask for. You know, it's just voter suppression, folks. It's a way for the Republicans to stay in office and for Democrats to stay out of office. That's all it is. And if anybody sees it any less than that, then they are stupid. It's voter suppression to keep you from voting. You know, it's not all about vote. Trump still claimed that he got more votes than Hillary Clinton. That's a damn lie. Trump is not a politician. How can he say, how does he know what voter fraud is and what voter fraud is not? He's got somebody whispering in his ear. Every time Trump says something, somewhere done told him. Because he doesn't know. He's not a politician. He's never held any office whatsoever. Trump knows nothing about governing. So he has these people around him whispering in his ear, telling him things and telling him what he should say, what he should do, what he should ask for. You know, he doesn't know anything about voter data. Somebody told him to do that, and he did it. Somebody else is, we see Trump as president, but there's somebody else in that White House, that Oval Office, that is actually the president and not Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is doing and saying and throwing out here at us, even in his tweets, something somebody done told him. As the same as this commission request for voter data. Do not give Trump any data of mine. Excuse me. I mean, this guy won't even show his federal taxes. He won't even show his returns. He won't even let anybody see that. And he wants to see. The thing is, Trump does not want to govern. He does not want to do that. Trump wants to rule. He wants to be a ruler. He wants what he wants. What he says he wants. He doesn't like. If Trump could fire everybody that disagreed with him in Congress, he would have done it. But he can't. If Trump could have fired everybody who says something ill against him, he would have done it. He fired a few people, but he can't fire the people that he wants to fire. So he'll belittle you and tell you you're getting low ratings. Nobody's listening to your show. Nobody's watching you. This is crazy. And the other day he wrestled and plummeted a logo. I'm pretty sure a lot of people see, on CNN, he was fighting. And that, to me, if you've seen that video where he's plummeting another opponent of his at the WWE wrestling, and he's on top of a guy wearing a CNN logo, that was violence committed against reporters. He can't stand the media. He can't stand the press. He can't stand reporters. You know why he doesn't like reporters, the press? Because they tell the truth. They tell the truth on him. They report everything they hear, even if it's ridiculous. And Trump doesn't like that. Trump can't stand the truth. So he hates reporters who put up the truth about him. He doesn't like that. Because the truth about him is always negative. And it's the truth. So he's going after reporters. But that's one of the that's something I don't think he should do. Because I do think in the beginning the press made Donald Trump, because in the beginning they gave Donald Trump free press. Everybody else when he was campaigning, everybody else had to pay to get their faces on television. Donald Trump, he virtually sailed into the office because of free press, and now that same free press he's vilifying. I think by calling them fake news. Yeah, there's fake news out here, but there are some legitimate sites too. You know, and I like CNN. He despises CNN. CNN is one of the premier non-fake news sites. But you can't believe that with Donald Trump because he's an idiot. Okay? And let's get back to this voter data thing. I'm going to tell my senators and everybody in Illinois, do not send my data. I don't want, that's my personal data. That's my vote. That's my situation. That's my ID. That's my identification. I don't want my crap going out to Washington where someone could steal my identity. He could stop me from voting. You know, this is crazy. This man does not want to govern. He wants to be a dictator. He wants to say, I want this, send it to me without any repercussions, without any back talk. Just send it to me. This is what he wants. And it's not gonna happen. Because the American people are not gonna let this happen. We are a constitutional country, and we always will be. Donald Trump will not upend that. Even these asshole Republicans who will not do anything about Donald Trump, they will be wiped out in November 2018. Because the longer Donald Trump is in office, the more devastating America is going to get. We are a laughingstock. People are laughing. Other leaders around the world are breaking their alliance with America because of Donald Trump. Not because of you and me, not because of the American people. Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. Illinois is one step away, folks. We've been 3 years without a budget. We're one step away from a budget. And I'm hearing that we're going to get a budget tomorrow. 3 years, and our governor, Bruce Rauner, doesn't like that. He's trying to stop them from signing a budget into law to take care of a lot of these bills. They're going to do a tax hike. I don't like tax hikes. I think they stink. But we have to get out of this mess.
Into one conspiracy theory of what he calls a silent coup going on by the intelligence community and former Obama administration officials. Here are the three chunks. One, leaks from the intelligence community calling out Trump administration officials for giving out inaccurate information about their contacts with the Russians and other stories. Two, news reports that the FBI is investigating possible contacts between Trump campaign advisors and Russians. And three, unconfirmed reports in the British press that the FBI may have sought FISA warrants to monitor Trump campaign communications. Now, those reports say nothing about President Obama being personally involved, nor do they say wiretapping was ever approved on Mr. Trump himself. Now, here's a rather amazing detail. It actually does not appear that any of these conservative outlets reported as fact what President Trump is now claiming, that, quote, Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Levin has asked the question as to whether the president is behind the leaks and the surveillance, but when he was directly asked by Fox News if former President Obama was directly involved in any of this, Levin said this.
I'm not Nostradamus here. I just think that we ought to find out. But I will tell you this. He's more involved than he says.
Now, it would be bad enough if the president valued the conjecture and accusations of these sources more than the facts that he has access to more than any other person in the world. But it's actually worse than that. President Trump took what Levin and others were saying and made it even less tethered to fact. With conjecture and venom, they alleged a conspiracy. He took it one step further and said it happened and President Obama was behind it. And as we've reported, the FBI director is incredulous at this charge and says it's completely false. Now, are there legitimate reasons to question why all these leaks and what are the motivations for them? Absolutely. But that's now a separate issue. This is about whether President Obama wiretapped President Trump. And the FBI director says it's false. Now, keep in mind, one not irrelevant detail here for anyone out there trying to make sense of this all. We've been here before. And this is not a land with much sense or respect for facts. This is a place of conspiracy theories, untethered to facts. And these theories are voiced by President Trump. It's Barack Obama faked his birth certificate because he was born in Africa. False. Thousands of New Jersey Muslims were on TV celebrating 9/11. False. Ted Cruz's father had something to do with Lee Harvey Oswald. False. Vaccines cause autism. False. There was something fishy about the deaths of Justice Scalia or Vince Foster. False. False. Inaugural crowd sizes, 3 to 5 million illegal votes. It goes on and on. None of it's true. And the people around President Trump who are enabling this nonsense, the ones who know better, you have to ask yourselves this question. Are you really serving the president? Are you really serving the American people? President Trump's administration introduced his updated travel ban today after pausing to consult Congress and his own cabinet on the rewrite in hopes that the implementation of this new order would be smoother. CNN senior diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kaczynski is live for us at the State Department. And Michelle, the president once said that if a judge delayed implementing the ban, any deaths as a result of terrorism would be on the judge's hands. But that sense of urgency seems to have given way to a more deliberate process.
Yeah, I mean, administration officials, too, were asked that question many times. We did finally get a response from the White House press secretary who said that the element of surprise against those who would want to do this country harm was eliminated after the rollout and then putting on hold of the first travel ban anyway. So it's not really something that they needed to deal with this time around. But keep in mind, this is still a travel ban based on national origin. It was rolled out as kind of a kinder, gentler travel ban, but there's still going to be those questions, serious questions that linger over whether this is even urgent or necessary.
The Trump administration's travel ban do-over. Today presented by the Attorney General, Department of Homeland.
Polls these days are very bad for Donald Trump. Not only do the majority of Americans disapprove of the job he's doing in the White House, the number of Americans who would support impeachment hearings is climbing. And to throw it in there, the ratings on Fox News are the lowest they've been in 17 years. Donald Trump is not popular. The people that he thinks are popular are not popular, which is Fox News. So what is the White House to do when you have an increasingly unpopular man who gets more unpopular by the day? Well, they released a press release yesterday touting Donald Trump's magnetic personality. Let me read you a few lines from this. President Trump has a magnetic personality and exudes positive energy, which is infectious to those around him. He has an unparalleled ability to communicate with people, whether he's speaking to a room of three or an arena of 30,000. What is the point of this press release? Are they trying to resell Donald Trump to the public? I thought that's what the election was for. This man is the sitting president of the United States, and the White House saw it appropriate to send out a press release saying, hey, you may not like him, but he's such a good guy. If you're around him, oh, it's just like being in heaven. This is the kind of thing we would expect North Korea to send out about Kim Jong-un. You know, this isn't something we would expect from the United States, certainly not coming directly out of the White House. Is that their responsibility now? Propaganda for the president? Kind of dress him up, tell people that, hey, you don't like his policies, but he's a real super sweet guy. He's so cool. You'll love him when you finally get to meet him. That's not going to sway anybody. That's not going to change their opinion of this man. An official press release saying that he has a magnetic personality or that he's comfortable talking to people. This doesn't make any sense. And that's why this is so scary. We're dealing with a White House right now that is in such crisis that they don't know how to handle themselves. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how they're going to handle all of these investigations going on. They know that as every other day ticks by, somebody else gets embroiled in these scandals. So the only thing they can think to do is send out a press release talking about what a good guy Donald Trump is and how great his personality is, as if this cult of personality is enough to keep this country going. We need a real leader. We need a grown-up. We need somebody who understands responsibility and has a level of maturity capable of running this country. And honestly, right now, that person is not Donald Trump, and it never will be Donald Trump. He is the kind of person that mentally will just never be there. He's never had to grow up, and he's never going to grow up. And this press release, this disgusting piece of White House propaganda, is absolute proof that Donald Trump only cares about being liked. He doesn't care about what he is doing to this country.
Yeah, I totally agree. He doesn't care about what he's doing to this country. He doesn't care about the voters of this country. He doesn't even care about the people who vote, because what his policies are also hurting the people who actually put him in office, made him president. And a lot of them are disappointed because they're not getting what they thought they would get from Donald Trump by voting for him. Donald Trump conned his way into the White House. He lied his way into the White House. He bullied his way into the White House. That is the long and short of it, folks. Donald Trump conned his way. He's a con man. I mean, Robert De Niro was right on the money when he was telling everybody before this guy was elected, what a buffoon, a clown, a narcissist, a fascist that he is. He was right on the money, and so were a lot of other people. But a lot of these crazy people, his supporters, the nuts, the uneducated, they went out there and put this guy over the top through the electoral vote. But let's all remember that Hillary Clinton got 3 million more votes than he did. The popular vote. So if it was up to the popular vote, we would not have this jackass in office. It would be Hillary or someone else. Hopefully a Democrat or an independent. But Donald Trump conned his damn way into the White House, and he was good. And now everything that's coming out of his mouth onto the media stage is just distractions. He wants to distract you from this. He don't want you to listen to that, so he'll say this. He doesn't like for people to focus on this, so he'll say something outrageous or do something outrageous and get you to focus off that important issue to focus on something else that he or his White House staff has put out there for us, the American people. And he's truly right. Donald Trump does not care about you, me, or America. Donald Trump cares about his brand only. It's about Donald Trump. Donald Trump loves Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants you to love him. If you don't love him, then he thinks that you're a scum, period. He thinks I don't love him. I'm pretty sure he thinks I'm scum, even if he's never heard of the show. But he knows that there's people out here who don't like him. He knows that there's people out here who want to see him out of the White House. He knows that there's people out here that thinks he's dumb as a rock. And that's another thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump will take the words that you throw at him and use them back on you. I've experienced that a few times in my life. You know, people take what you say about them negatively, and they'll throw it back at you. And I always felt those kind of people who did that, they really didn't have any, they really didn't know how to assert themselves. So they needed somebody else's words to try to exert themselves against the person who actually threw those words in their direction. I hope that's not confusing. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 7:17 p.m. in the city of Chicago. It's great. It's cloudy. Somehow I get the feeling that the days are starting to get shorter. I hope I'm wrong about that, folks, but it's always possible. It's possible. All right. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Happy belated 4th of July, folks. Whenever you speak to a group, leave your head at home and speak from your heart. All right. Be kind to one another out there. It is so easy. Let me say that again because it sounds so good. It sounds really good. Whenever you speak to a group, leave your head at home and speak from your heart. And that's what I try to do on this show. I don't know if I'm leaving my head at home or speaking from my heart, but as I was saying earlier, I try to say what I think, what I feel. I don't try to sugarcoat anything on this show when I talk or when I'm talking to guests. I don't try to be someone I'm not on this show. I try to be who I am. Be the way I've always been since I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 11 years old. I'm the same person now as I was then when I was just a child. A lot of people didn't know that, but hey, wow, if you read one of my books, you probably would. Come to think of it, I am a writer. I do have writers on the show talking about their books. So if you want to check out anything that I've written, go to www.amazon.com, put my name up there in the text bar, and choose. And most of that stuff is good. It's fiction, but it's great stuff. It's wonderful stuff. And some of it's long, some of it's short, but I'm starting to believe that actually, people don't want to read 300, 400 page novels. They want to read something short and sweet that's going to stay with them. And that's the kind of things that I do. I do have novels on my Amazon website, but I do have short stories. They are just as potent. And I mean, I've got great reviews for a lot of that stuff. I think I got 20 or so pieces of work on Amazon, maybe more. And out of all of that, only one of the short stories that I written that's published, that has 3 stars. That's the only piece of work that I have 3 stars for. But it's okay. It's a positive rating still. I mean, 3 stars is better than 2 stars. But majority of my work that I have on Amazon, there are four stars or five stars. Sometimes reviewers just cannot give you 5 stars. They rather give you a 3-star or 4-star just because they themselves, something inside of them, even if they enjoy what you've written, they just can't seem to do it, you know. But then some reviewers, they don't have no problem with it. Oh, this is great. Bing. And I like those kind of reviewers. And if you buy a book, download a book, please leave a review. Always leave a review. That would be so appreciative. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's 7:21. And I wanted to say something about, before the show is over, I wanted to say a little bit about North Korea. What's this guy named Kim Jong-un or whatever? Anyway, this guy has been testing the United States with these missile launches. I'm hearing he recently launched a missile that could reach the United States. They're talking about Alaska, maybe Hawaii. You know, this guy, he hates America. There's no doubt about it. He calls us slap the American bastards in the face. I'm quoting him or someone in his regime. Quoting again, slap the American bastards in the face. My thing is, this guy keep on testing the world. He's testing this new president. He's testing Donald Trump. And I actually think Donald Trump is a coward, actually. I mean, because I'm not a violent guy, but I do think that this guy, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, I think this guy should be blown off the face of the earth, because this guy, he's testing these missiles and the world is doing nothing about him. He's just, and North Korea is just a small country. It may not be big as, you know, Evanston. Who knows? It's a small country, but he's got a lot of balls. And I think if the world, if America doesn't do anything about this man, this young boy, this kid, I think he's really going to do some damage around the world, maybe to America, because I'm hearing that these missiles that he's launching are capable of hitting the United States. That's a threat. That's a declaration of war. And as we've all have stated, you know, we knew this the moment Trump, you know, was elected to office, took over the White House, that we were going to get in a war. And it looks like it's going to be with North Korea. They're saying America is asking China to do something about North Korea, but I'm hearing that China is refusing. So this is a declaration of war. I mean, words can't, you know, words can't hurt you, but I'm hearing that the United States, they don't want to go to war with this country. So they're going to try to do it diplomatically. They're going to try to talk to these people. I don't know if you can talk to this man. He sounds like he just hates America. And I think that, you know, I don't know if you can talk. You can try diplomacy if you want to, but if that doesn't work, you should blow this guy completely off the planet. I mean, I think other people will, other countries around the world would understand, because he is a threat, not to just America, but to every country on the face of this planet. Every country on this planet, every country in the world. And he's a bad guy. Kim Jong-un is a bad guy. You know, so I would, you know, say to the Americans, I mean, hey, blow him away before he blows us away. I mean, what are you doing? It's self-defense, you know, it's self-defense, because he keeps on testing these missiles. He's not testing them just to be testing them, to be playing with them. He's testing them to come after Americans, America. And we should know this. All right, that's enough about North Korea. All right, hopefully Illinois will have a budget tomorrow. Folks, we've been three years without a budget, and hopefully we'll have a budget tomorrow, because the credit rating industry, they are about to lower our credit rating to junk status. But you know what Rauner said? The governor of Illinois, Rauner, junk status doesn't bother him. That's junk status is self-explanatory. It's junk. We will be a junk state. And he does it, and he's the governor, and he's saying it doesn't bother him. It bothers the rest of us. The rest of us, the people who live in Illinois and Chicago and around, we don't want to be known as a junk state, Mr. Governor. You don't care. You know why he doesn't care? Because he's rich. He's a billionaire. I mean, downgrading Illinois to junk status is not going to hurt his pockets, but it will ours. So hopefully tomorrow, this time, we will have a budget for the state of Illinois without the help from this rogue governor, Bart Blackville, this rogue governor. Hopefully we will have a budget tomorrow. Then if we don't, we're going to go down to junk status because this governor, I think he planned this all along to ruin Illinois and then blame it on other people. That's all it's been with this guy. It's been the blame game. That's all it's been. And hopefully, folks, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will have a budget tomorrow. And once I come on the radio tomorrow, I'm going to say, oh, we have a budget.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl.
Everybody, but listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spending some of your time with me. I totally appreciate it. Bye-bye. Everybody, take care.